He admitted it. First step is admitting it, guys.
Hello, my name is Evan, and I am a tinkerer.
You've got to make a decision. Get over looking at the flaws in your swing. None of us can be Adam Scott. It's not going to happen.
Is this a proclamation? Is it time to stop trying to make our swing look like Adam Scott? Let's go! And welcome back. Welcome aboard another Fart Train. I'm Ev. This is Serm.
What's up, Ev? It's good to be back. Big conversation today. This is going to be intense. Could be a little fun.
It could be intense. We had an argument over maybe a disagreement, an argument. I don't know. It was getting heated over Instagram. We're DMing, and we said, you know what? We got to get on the pod, and we got to air it out for all of our passengers. In case you guys are new, we help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again, because if you can learn to smile through bad golf, you can smile through anything. We unpack the mental game with anyone from a PGA Tour pro to a golfer like you and me, and that's what we're going to do today. Before we get to this episode, where we're going to finally, I don't think we've ever done this topic before, but I'm very excited about it. We are going to articulate and debate the difference between tinkering and getting better. Tinkering in your swing versus improving your golf game. Sometimes
Who do you want to be?
It's hard to figure out the difference.
You like low scores? All right, I'll just stop. I'll wait till we get into this.
We're going to figure it out. But first, before we get to this heated conversation and debate, we're going to embrace debate today. A quick word from our friends at Roback. Our friends at Roback Activewear make this show possible. And I'm wearing the new BlitzTech hoodie right now. We're both wearing navy. You got the Q-zip on.
Yeah, this is my newest navy Q-zip. Love it.
I've got a BlitzTech hoodie. This is like a t-shirt, I guess, thickness. It's like a t-shirt weight, but it's a hoodie. And I wear it in workouts. I wear it around the house. You could wear it underneath a polo if you wanted, or over a polo even. I mean, it's perfect.
Looks good, Ev. It looks comfy. It looks, like I said, that is working out and maybe teeing it up if you like the hoodie look. You know,
yeah,
more
casual round for sure.
I don't do the hoodies. I do the Q-zips on the course. But also, but it looks really great athletic wear. Yeah.
It's also, I can't believe I almost forgot to say this. It's almost Masters time, and the Azalea collection is out. Okay. Wow. They got new Masters colors. They've got new spring colors in their polos. This is really the biggest time of the year, other than Black Friday and holidays, to get new Roback stuff, because it's the Masters, it's the
Derby,
start of the golf season,
Easter, all that stuff. It's just all colors, right? Yeah. Spring.
Yeah. Happy spring. The allergies are coming. Now go to roback.com. Enter the code TRAIN, get 15% off. If the code doesn't work, it means you probably used it before. So get creative. We're all about thinking outside the box here on the train. So borrow your wife's email, create a new email, do whatever you have to do. Or if you forget the code, go to our Instagram at the Partrain. You can always tap our link in the bio or wherever you follow us, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And tap that link and it'll auto apply in your cart as well. So thank you to Roback as always.
Thanks, Serm, guys.
Tinkering versus getting better. We want to give the passengers, let's just dive in here. Let's give the passengers a little context.
And you want to pull
right?
up the DMs? I mean, I don't really
I actually can't because my phone is my camera. But
you kind of, I'll let you set the stage here a little bit, but it did stem from, a post of yours. But, you know, we're trying to talk about these last couple of weeks and what's been going on with your game. And where we think you've been going, are going, we don't know. We have to figure this out.
Yeah. So to give context, we did a full episode on this. I think it was 2 episodes ago, maybe 3. It was about my 80 and shooting, I think, 1 over par on the back 9 or something at a private club.
37.
You come off around like that for me, that's, I've gone up to a 9 handicap, which, you know, I've been low as a 5. That was a big moment where we are like, all right, all these lessons I've been taking, I'm heading in the right direction, right? Well, then I post a story. Again, my focus has been, I used to hide my struggles because I felt ashamed. And now it's like, no, this is, everyone's along for the journey. This is what the show's all about. So I'm going to share everything.
Golf is hard.
Yes. So you saw it on Full Swing. Everybody goes through struggles, right? I've been through mine. So I made a promise to myself. I'm going to share all my struggles. I'm going to share what I'm thinking. I'm going to share what I'm working on. So you'll see me post stories on our Instagram about me at the range, the latest thing I'm working on, what I've been struggling with, etc. I post a story and it says, I've been really struggling with figuring out the takeaway for the longest time. No matter what I do, it dumps inside with an open face, right? And it's much longer than that, but that's the short version. Serm DMs me and he says,
I mean, it was a long post you made. It was like a lot.
It was a lot of context.
Yeah.
It was a big box of text.
Yeah.
Serm DMs me and he goes, what are we doing? You just shot an 80. What are we doing? Go with what you got. It worked fine when you shot an 80. Now, here's the interesting tension here, okay? From the outside looking in, I could see where you would say that. It makes total sense. You just shot a great round, and you would have very close to breaking 80. And you're changing stuff again. What are we doing? Now, on the inside, i.e. me, where I don't share, obviously, everything that I experience, I still know there's something very wrong in regards to my misses. Meaning, I shouldn't be losing a ball with an 8-iron is basically what it comes down to. And I have been for quite a while. So I went down the rabbit hole where, now this is going to go supporting your point of view for a second. I told you off air, I've kind of come back the other way. I've done some reflection.
Some breaking news, guys.
Breaking news.
Not on here.
At first, I was like, Cermak doesn't understand.
Classic.
Right? He doesn't get that, yes, I might have shot an 80, but there's still growth to go.
Well, there's
like,
always
I still
growth.
Have to figure out how to... I was testing feels to try and get the club more on the plane. Right?
Testing feels, guys. Testing feels.
Now that is what got
that
me.
To me is, what are we doing?
Is that tinkering?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's what I think happened. I told this to Josh yesterday. I just had my fifth lesson yesterday.
But
go ahead. Before, I'll pause. You go ahead.
Yeah. Pause for a second, because what you're kind of getting at here is I shot my best score in a very long time on a championship. We'll call it just a really great golf course, private club. You talked about the nerves being out there. We did an episode about that. And you still feel like, I don't know how it happened. You make it sound like it was luck, but you
it
also
definitely wasn't luck,
but that's what, how you make it. I don't know how I did it. I don't know what went on out there. It just was a good day and a good score, but I don't think I can replicate that.
So let me clarify that.
But
I clarified it to Josh yesterday. I think this sums it up well. Obviously, the key from that round was my caddy was like, you don't need to overswing. Your regular swing works here. So I had that reminder every single swing. I was purposely swinging really soft, but it felt apologetically soft, almost like tentatively soft, because it didn't feel athletic. Now, maybe that's just because I've always swung hard, so it felt really different. And there were some areas, because if I'm used to getting the club inside and behind me, and then I dip my right shoulder and I have to turn it hard, fire it hard to close it down. If I just let the club drop, it feels very over the top. That's what my feel is. So it feels very uncomfortable to me to go with that, because for years now, if I come over the top and I swing really soft, that face would be open and it would go dead to the right. So for me to be able to trust that I can just let the club go, the club head is not going to be open. And even though it feels over the top, that's actually dropping it into the slot. That's a very uncomfortable thing.
Well, I think you're just overcomplicating everything. You're so caught up in feels, and nobody can play golf like this. Here's the thing. You shot 80. Again, a great golf score. And you broke down that round. What you shared with me was, I hit some of the best golf shots I've hit in a long time. We're hitting par fives and two and hitting shots to 3-4 feet, making eagles. We shot 37 on the back nine in a money game.
He's fired
so
up.
You didn't tell me, if you didn't share with me, Matt, I literally hit it all over the place. I chipped and putted the greatest I ever had. I hit recovery shots all day and was a complete magician, but I did not know where it was going. You didn't say this.
Mm-hmm.
You said I was grooving. especially on the back nine. I was in a rhythm. I was smoking drives, hitting par fives and two, taking advantage of my power, which you always used to be really good at, and playing in a match and performing at a country club. That's what you said. So when you said all that stuff to me, like, oh my God, that's a breakthrough. This is sure. Were there misses? Yeah. When pro shoots 65, they have misses, but you were just the way you chat now, then you share, but I'm not sure what my feels were, but the caddy was in my ear and he figured out a help with my rhythm and I trusted it and I did it. So that's why I'm confused when I saw this post. I'm like, why aren't we building on everything, the environment that was created that day and working on that while still taking a lesson and like you are, and still, you can still work on your takeaway and stuff. It's like, so little shedding some light on why I was DMing you in this way, because I'm utterly confused.
Yeah.
Then you started talking about testing feels and
so this,
what feels are we testing?
Yeah, this is the key. Okay. So this is what I've learned from this. At first I felt like Cermak doesn't understand. The 80 shouldn't mean that I should stop trying to get better, which is not what you were saying, by the way. You were saying, don't get away from the stuff that was working. And why are we testing things away from Josh, which is the thing I promised on the goals episode I would not
really do. Really struggle with this. Clearly. Okay.
So here's what I've learned. When you think about tinkering versus getting better, I kept telling myself, and I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this, because I've done this forever. And this was the year I promised myself I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, okay. But some things I'm going to share on this too.
I regressed. I admit it. Now, here's what I did. Here's the mistake.
He admitted it. First step is admitting it, guys.
Hello, my name is Evan, and I am a golf swing addict. I am a tinkerer. How about that? Hello, my name is Evan, and I am a tinkerer. Here's what I've learned. I kept thinking, okay, I really saw some progress. If only I can find a feel to get the takeaway a little bit more vertical and on plane, and then I can do everything I've been doing, imagine what I could do. Now, here's the mistake. I focused so much on takeaway feels again that I lost all of the other ingredients that was creating a good recipe for me. So my focus went so much back on tinkering in a takeaway, I actually got worse because I wasn't thinking about my light right side. I wasn't getting into my right hip. Like all of these things that I've been working on and they're now key to my recipe, I lost. And all I was doing was trying takeaway feels, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, Ev. I mean, you clearly, I'm going to go back to this round, this really, really good golf round. I'll bet your takeaway wasn't what you hoped it would be out there.
I know.
You know, but I bet it's not, doesn't look like
it worked.
I bet it's not, I bet it wasn't out in front of you and upright. I just bet it wasn't.
Yeah.
So either that's okay. Not that I still can't try to work on it when I'm practicing, or that's just not okay. You've got to come to that decision because, Ev, if you really wanted to fix your takeaway, we would see it. We're not, it doesn't look that different, but your setup looks different. Your grip looks different. Your posture looks different. And you're thinking about, you know, with all that, you're making proper turns, proper loads. You understand where the takeaway needs to go. But, you know, if you really wanted to fix your takeaway, from a positional, great positional perspective, we'd see it. My opinion is that's just a work in progress. That is always going to be a thing you're going to have to work on. You hear about the pros talk about it. Your takeaway is always something you got to work on, but you have all these better things going on now.
Right.
That you're not leaning into. Now, I think you're coming around to it through your reflection, but this is the thing here. And like, do you want to just stop tinkering with your takeaway? Trust Josh. Maybe it doesn't look perfect. Maybe it doesn't even look that much different than it used to. But I'll tell you what looks different. All those other things I mentioned. And that's going to create better results. And that's what happened when you shot 80. Because and then you had a strong mind and a strong strategy and you were playing golf.
Yeah.
So that's my take there.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing I've really learned that's been a big aha moment, we haven't talked about this specifically, but you saw it, I think, in the lesson I just posted on YouTube, was the thing that Josh has really helped, my coach, has really helped me with. And by the way, all of our lessons are on our YouTube. If you guys can watch it.
Great looking.
I basically took our lessons.
And game.
Yeah, I took
Josh
our
is,
lessons
Josh is awesome. Yeah.
And I put it down to 10 minutes, the best 10 minutes every time with clips. A certain theme. But I think what Josh has helped me understand is we have certain things in our swings, whether it's tension, whether it's positions, a lot of times it's setup that make us do the things we've always done because those doors are locked. Those doors are access denied. So one example for you, I'll give you real quick, is I just worked on my last lesson, not to get too technical, but I think it's actually helpful context, where I was deep in my right hip. So all my weight was kind of on my right side, probably like 65, 35 mm-hmm. Into my right hip. And my hands were back.
Mm-hmm.
So my hands were kind of in my right groin. The club head is ahead of the hands.
At address.
At address without knowing it.
Off.
What I've always done without knowing
weak,
it.
Weak position.
No coach has ever told me this, by the way. So if you factor in, all of my weight is in my right hip. My hands are back into my right groin. When I do this, how am I going to get it to here?
Well, you did it when
only
you shot 80.
Way, no, but this is what I've learned.
Yeah.
The only way is to dump it inside, roll it over.
Manipulate
right?
The club face. Yeah, 100%.
So what I've learned now is Josh is now getting my weight in my left hip. So I have space to turn into my right hip. It's feeling
bump
like
left,
my hands are a little
load
bit
right.
More.
That's what he said, right?
Yeah. Bump left, load right. He's also helping me realize that if my hands bump a little bit more towards my left groin, I have space to now open up and turn. Right now, the club still might dump inside. That's a good point. It's a work in progress. But I think what I've learned is if I only tinker, going back to the original question, tinkering versus getting better. If I'm only focused on tinkering, that means I'm just trying random feels to get a position on camera in my takeaway that loses all of this amazing work and insight that I've learned from Josh to unlock my true, authentic, best swing.
You're dead on, Ev. It's good you said this because you're not practicing the right way.
Yeah. I got back to an old habit of just tinkering.
Tinkering.
I got away from all of these great ingredients. Remember, Josh has really hammered in my head. A golf swing is a recipe. And right. It's about finding the right ingredients. It's not about yes or no, do or don't. We all have things where maybe we have a little bit too much of this recipe of an ingredient and we need to dial that ingredient back. But that ingredient is still there.
Right.
It's like
good players go to the range to build on their fundamentals, not find feels.
Yeah.
And sure, do you work? Is there things that are positional that you work on? But it's what your coach is telling you.
Yeah. Right? All right. The train's going to make a quick stop. Don't panic. We'll get it moving in a second. But first, I wanted to ask you guys, have you been really focused on getting off that struggle bus? Are you trying to play the best golf of your life in 2024? I feel you. I'm on that same journey. I want us to go on it together and keep moving towards our best golf of our life this year. Best way to do it, do us a solid. Hop over to our YouTube channel. Actually, you can watch all of these podcasts in video form on our YouTube channel. My lessons are there every week, as well as all the other videos we're making to help you enjoy the ride on and off the course. So do us a solid. It would mean the world. If you like the podcast, you'll love the YouTube. Go to youtube.com/@thepartrain. Hop aboard the channel and subscribe. It'll mean the world. And let's all get playing our best golf in 2024. Thanks, guys. Let's get this show back on track. It was funny because I promised myself I wouldn't do it. I tried to do a little of it. I got way off the rails. And I was so funny. I was watching my lesson because I was sending Brett, our editor, the timestamps to put it together. And I was like, man, I had such a breakthrough lesson and I wasn't even focused on that stuff. So this is, I want every passenger to learn from, we all make them. I'm documenting the whole thing. I just made a huge mistake. I went back to an old habit. To be fair, I've been doing it for over a decade, so it's easy to, but the show keeps me accountable. You keep me accountable.
Right.
Now, this doesn't mean that if you go out and you shoot a good score, that you can't work to get better, but you have to build on the stuff that's working and work within that parameters without losing what got you there, I think is my big learning.
I think it's good. You've got to make a decision, get over looking at the flaws in your swing. It's your takeaway. You know what's flaws in my swing, Ev? Laid off. And laid off forever, and I hate it. You know what's another so funny? Flaw?
That's awesome.
But club face can get open. It's a tendency. It's a flaw. And then I back up, and then I've got to flip at it. It's like, I post a swing on Instagram and I was like, oh, that looks incredible. Serm, love the move. But it's like, I look at it slow motion for 2 hours at night, like you do. And I say, oh my God, weight's still on my right. But that's it. That's golf. So we deal with that. It's real, but we're human. It's right. Our tendencies. It's our challenges. But I don't go to the golf course anymore. There was a time that I did a long time ago where I'm like really, really trying to force my backswing so it's not laid off. Just got to play with it, you know?
Yeah.
I work on things that, you know, try to make that better. But I mean, I hate to say it. None of us can be Adam Scott. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just not going
to
happen.
Is it time? Is this a proclamation? Is it time to stop trying to make our swing look like Adam Scott?
I think it
is. Once and for all.
I think it is. I mean, we're so obsessed with it, and it's human nature to get mad or, you know, a little, you know, don't get down about it. It's just like, all right. So my takeaway goes inside. That's Evan Stinger's tendency. Mm-hmm. But I am not on the forever search to tinker to make it perfect. I'm going to make it better. But you're going to make it better in different ways. You know,
I have a feeling this is what my coach Josh would say to you right now. He would say, knowing that that's the tendency of Evan Stinger is to drop it inside with an open face. He would argue, a more important thing for me to focus on would be three-quarter swings at 60% than focusing on my takeaway. Because I had an open face with an inside takeaway and it gets behind me, for the longest time, my body has had the understanding that the only way that I can make that work is if I rip at it. Because if I just swing light, it's going to be wide open and I'm going to have a 40-yard right miss, right? My body can't trust yet because of all the past stuff that face is more shut because of my grip work, because of my posture and all that stuff, right? So we'll be like, swing 60% like you're trying to hit this 8-iron 130 yards. And it's like, sometimes I feel like a incompetent doofus because I literally can't do it. Like I swing kind of light, which in reality is maybe like a 90% swing.
Yeah.
And it still goes like 160 yards, right? And my three quarter is a full swing. It just feels shorter because I usually go past parallel. So these are probably the things that are more valuable for me to work on, is starting to gain reps to trust that I can just let my arms fall, that my body can close the face down, that I don't have to do it with my arms and hands. And yesterday's lesson was really eye-opening because the shots I hooked, I could feel at the bottom that I tried to turn it, manipulate it. The shots that I barely missed right, I could feel that I held on. Josh is like, dude, that's what we want. That every time you make a miss, you know exactly what you did and you get back to, you know, the thing that you do well, which is swinging easier, letting your arms drop and being a bit more passive.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. This trap, though, of having to know exactly what happened after every shot. Okay, so I hit it right. I came out of it. My body came up. My club face was open. So I hit it left. I didn't make a good turn. I was really handsy and I shut the face down. That's it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Like that's just understanding any just normal shot patterns. You're not going to dig into, man, did I load quite properly?
No. I'm not saying that.
It's just, but didn't, I think you kind of knew that before or no? Are you saying this is really more newer information for you?
This is new information because before I didn't know why it went left to right.
Right.
Where well, okay. Now I think what he's saying is the goal is you're not going to drain your energy source because you're trying to search out there. You know what you did. And then you go back to the keys that have always been there. So I think it's a way to maintain confidence, right?
What do I stress on though? Why did I hit it right? Because I wasn't committed.
That's a part of it too.
That's a massive part of it. Now, yeah. You know, if there's flaws in your swing that, you know, promote, you know, an open face to the top, promote a right shot, it's going to happen. It's going to happen more, but that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
That's why I was frustrated when you shot 80. It's like, you were playing golf. You had a simple thought. You were playing the golf course. You were in a match. You had strategy. It doesn't mean we're not, you know, still working on it. So it's like, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. So let's,
like, are you interested in playing golf while working on your swing? Are you interested in shooting, try to shoot the lowest score possible today with what I have?
So let's talk about that for a second.
You need a clear plan when you go out there, something to lean on.
So here's another thing that's interesting is before that 80, we talked about on that episode. I mean, I was just getting warm on the range, right? I joked with the people I was with.
Yeah.
The range means nothing, right? Let's all agree. Cause we're all, you know, we're getting warm. We played the day before, we're spraying it all over the place on the range. So when you have that type of range session going into the round, I think it's easier, just talking to the average golfer here, I think it would be easier to swing really light and just go back to rhythm because you don't know where it's going, right?
Do you know what swing light mean? Like, let's talk about swing. You say swing light a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What do you think that means?
A little bit more passive?
No.
What do you think it means?
If we're going to use, be smooth with your takeaway. Because if you're smooth, if your tempo is not jerky, if you're smooth, you can then fire and rip at it. I want to rip at it. You've said it. You're comfortable when you're ripping at it. Even if it's a knockdown three-quarter shot, I'm still ripping at it, taking an extra club, putting it back in my stance. And I've got to fire my big muscles more because it's a less hand shot. And I want to feel aggressive and have that club right out in front of me and hit a low ball flight and a two bounce and stop.
Yeah.
So to me, passive, it's just smooth is the classic, but it's all about, you know, our tendencies when we get to the range or we're working on something, we forget what's going on. We're under pressure on the golf course. We get jerky.
Yeah.
We get jerky with our takeaway because we're filled with tension. So to me, I want you to react to this. It's just all about, all right, you know, you and Josh work a lot on your tempo, right? A lot on this rocky motion, which is
rhythm,
great.
Yeah.
Rhythm to me, it starts right here, first 3 feet.
He said that to me yesterday. He texted me after my round. I think
thoughts. But I think this is very important for you and for listeners. I'm not saying anybody can challenge me on these things. I'm happy to have the conversation, but tell me what else you think works. But to me, all about rhythm, guys. It's all about rhythm. Don't jerk the club back. Get your mind right. Get your plan right. And when you have that, Ev, then you'll have a confident, smooth takeaway.
Well, I guess.
And then you go.
The point there is it's easier to have rhythm when you start with rhythm. Very difficult to have rhythm if you start fast. Right?
Guys, and we're not Freddie Couples, okay? Let's get that out there, okay? We're not Adam Scott, and we're not Freddie Couples. Quit trying to think you're going to swing like that. It's not going to happen. He's got the best rhythm we've ever seen.
Yeah.
He still fires the hell out of it. And the reason why he can hit it as far as he can at that age is because of his takeaway is got a nice, smooth rhythm. That's it.
He doesn't have a perfect takeaway. He's across the line. He's handsy.
Backswing's across the line. He's on his left. So again, we're not going to be Freddie Couples, but what we learned from Freddie Couples is just those first 3 feet.
Yeah. when I think of rhythm or when I say passive, what I'm trying to say is I can't be as active with my hands. It's more of a...
But I think that's a... To me, Ev, I think that's... You're going to be too much hands or whatever. But if you're like this, if you whip the club back with tension, then you're not going to turn. Then you're going to have to manipulate. Your mind goes like... Your mind starts thinking, okay, I'm in trouble. I've got to figure it out. And as we know, bad things can really happen.
Yeah.
You always talk about light at the top. We all... Yeah, sure. But you can't be light at the top if you're jerking back your takeaway. Right. Or if your grip's not there, or if you're not bumped left, you know, I love the thought bump left, load right. I think that's how you should play. I think that's your thought for the day.
Yeah.
So it all kind of starts in the setup. And then when you're playing.
Well, so this is what I was getting to.
With your plan.
This is what I was getting to. So what I was trying to say is when you struggle on the range and you go on the course, I think it's easier to simplify things and have just your rhythm as your thought, right? Or bump left, load right. When you rip it on the range, I think for me, it is much harder for me to not get overly excited.
You're not the only one.
And want to rip an 8-iron 180 yards. It's just, I get excited and I...
But see, that's, yeah, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been... At the days, there was around this past summer. I think we did a pot on. I shot 80 and I warmed up so good. Because,
yes,
but I was a little like, man, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And then I just let this golf course get to my head because I didn't like the design of it. Right. Mm-hmm. But why does it have to be about so far? Why is it about hitting an 8 iron 180? I want you to talk about this. What is that in you that we kind of, I think you've got to pull
that's
apart?
That's what I'm saying. I think I've got to let that go.
It's all tied to distance. It's all tied to,
well, because I think, you know, as any golfer probably feels, I think there is no better feeling. It happened yesterday. Granted, though, I swung with great rhythm, one of my best swings of the day, and I hit a fucking high, soft 4-iron on a par 5 and 2, and I got on in 2.
Hitting those some par 5s and 2. Love to see it.
I think it's just, it can be the reason why we play, is to see a ripped club, right? But what I'm learning now, also context for that, I had to rip to close the face down before, right? I still have an inside takeaway, but the face isn't as open. With my grip and my posture change and my setup change, the club face is in a better position than it was.
It's great.
So I've got old residual have to feels that now don't match my ingredients. So like Josh was teaching me yesterday, I don't have to rip it. Like my three-quarter feel, my 80% feel, I was hitting 165-yard 8-irons yesterday. And every time, I would say 90% of the time, it was a baby draw. And he's like, why can't you play with this every time?
Well, yeah.
I mean, why can't you be this guy?
You've heard me say on the show, an 8-iron's considered a short iron, right? So like...
Right. You don't have to like get yards out of it.
I never want a full rip those.
Right. But that's not something I've learned. You know, that's like very difficult for me. So that's something that I can gain reps on and gain the confidence of, I don't have to do too much here. That's what my caddy was saying to me. You don't have to muscle this. Right. And when I don't try and muscle it, things naturally happen better.
Right. There's something,
because there's rhythm. There's...
Take a half club more, take a club more, and still make an aggressive swing.
Right. All right. The train is slowing down. We're going to make a quick stop. Don't worry. We'll get it right back on track in a second. But first, we have hit springtime, and springtime is arguably the best time of the year. Don't tell that to my allergies. I think this is the best time of year because it's really when golf season starts for most of the world. And also it means the Masters is going to be here very soon. So you know what that means? The Azalea collection is back for Roback Activewear, my favorite collection in apparel. They've got a bunch of new designs. They've got spring polo designs. They've got spring colors. They've got the Azalea print, the polo that got me 10,854 compliments when I went to the Masters a couple years ago. I ran into like 10 other people wearing it, and it was like this secret society. We were pounding fists. It was awesome. So go to roback.com, tap the link in our show notes, or go to our Instagram at the Par Train and that 15% will auto apply in your cart. If it doesn't work, it means you've used it before. So get creative, do whatever you have to do, create a new email, whatever. Didn't hear it from us. It's springtime. You deserve some new golf get up for the season. Look good, feel good, baby. So tap the link in our show notes or in our bio at the Partrain on Instagram is probably the best place to do it. And tap the rollback link. It'll auto apply in your cart, 15% off. Happy spring, everybody. Pumped for the Masters. It's going to be here soon. Hope you guys get some new gear. All right, let's get back to the show. I think to tie a bow in this, let's define tinkering versus getting better. I would define tinkering as neglecting everything that you've been working on to try different feels to achieve a position, usually, I'd say more often than not.
Yeah.
And you're trying to find something. Whereas getting better, in my experience over these last five lessons, have been getting the foundational elements in check, grip, stance, posture, adding very small ingredients of things that work. You're trying something, you're not quite getting it. You bring it back to your coach. You say, I've started to let him know, I don't feel open here. I feel blocked out here. Why is that? Oh, well, my right arm is out and full of tension. I need to let it be loose and turn into it, right? Though that's an example of like, that is not tinkering. That is a unlock of, oh, I didn't have any space here. Let me give myself room to turn. That's a new ingredient. I go work on that, right? I think that's the difference. Trying to find stuff that's positional, neglecting the good stuff that was working before, getting better is building on foundational elements that have nothing to do with positions, but it's about getting yourself to play better golf. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's good.
How would you define tinkering versus
Well, Tiger Woods is the biggest tinkerer in the modern era, and he's the greatest player, but Tiger Woods understands the golf swing unlike anybody will ever understand the golf swing.
But I would say tinkering to him is more of an exaggerated feel.
No,
foundations are set, right?
Well, right. And he understands, like he says to Hank Gainey, right? Let's change my grip today. but I think our generation's caught up in a lot of that. Changing the swings, always searching for more, all these things.
YouTube, yeah.
YouTube, Instagram, online teaching. Eva, to me, tinkering is it's not believing who you are. You want to be. It has a lot to do with wanting to be something else, something better, something greater, sure, which we strive for. But it's that constant search that gets you away from who you are. Yeah. And you've got flaws in your swing, and so do I, and so does everybody else listening. So,
you know what else I think it is? I just thought, Serm. Sorry to interrupt. It's potentially trying to fix something that isn't even the cause of what the fix is. Like yesterday, I was talking to Josh.
Go ahead. Finish the thought.
I was just going to say, my forearm rolls, right?
Yeah.
Josh's point yesterday is we can't necessarily go into a lesson and try and stop my forearm from rolling. The reason my forearm rolled is because my hands were back. All my weight was into my right side. It had to do something to flip it and get the club at a position.
Yeah, I think that's partially true. I think you've just also been doing that move for as long as you can remember.
Right, but I might have done that move for another reason. So going back to like why tinkering is a lot of times counterproductive is without someone there, you're trying to fix something that isn't even necessarily the reason why you do it. So if you're trying to fix your forearm roll, but you're still got your hands back and your weight and your right, you're still going to have to roll it because you have no other option.
I think one of the big things you've learned throughout these lessons with Josh is now that you understand posture, setup, grip, stance, alignment, weight, it's all around the address, is that's going to have a big impact on my takeaway. Those are the things you need to just really work on.
Yeah.
And whatever Josh says about your takeaway, you guys do it. You cannot be going off on your own because you're so caught up in it trying to look good and you're scarred from how it looks. But that's not going to work. Yeah. I'm scarred from my backswing a lot of ways, but I'm over it. It's not perfect. You know, I don't play golf for a living, you know, I know what to work on.
Yeah.
That helps me always be mindful of that. And I think, Ev, for you, as we kind of, you know, wrap up this conversation, because we've probably talked for 3 hours. You can't be going to the golf course. You listed like 4 thoughts on a post. These are my thoughts. Right arm. That's great. But like, what is going to be, what are you going to, I think it's left bump, load right. Like that is all about what we're talking today. Your setup, your foundation, that you do that, that can help create trust and a smooth takeaway to go.
Right. Yeah.
Like, how are you? Cause you've got to make a decision. I'm going to go play golf. Today's the day. If I'm keeping score, I got to be able to have a sound, clear mind on that first tee. And it doesn't mean you're not going to hit bad shots. You might hit some really bad shots, but yeah, we all do.
Right.
It's just how you're going to respond to that. I think what you've said, which is really good, you know now why you're hitting those bad shots. But what is going to be, how are you going to recreate some of those mental, strategical feelings, ideas that were out there when you shot 80? How are you going to do that?
Yeah. So this is the most important thing I'm probably going to say this episode, because as you were saying, I have backswing flaws. I don't like it, but I've had to accept it. I could feel, because I felt it in my soul. I bet you there's a lot of passengers that felt this way too. Yeah, but you're a scratch. But
I was obsessed with my backswing in college.
Right, I know. So here's the takeaway for me. That's what gets us in trouble, is I think that the tinker is going to be the fix to get me towards a scratch. But that is not true. That is a lie.
Well said.
I have thought that. That is why in our goals podcast, I said I'm no longer doing it, because it's proven to not work. It's put me in the wrong direction for too long.
It's happened to me too in my golf career.
Yes. So for every passenger that's listening to this thinking, well, that's easy for Cermak to say. If I was a scratch, I'd be happy with my backswing too. It's not true. But what Cermak does is he has flaws in his swing, but he works on enough foundational elements of knowing what helps him swing well that he sticks with that. So you can't tinker to try and make this big jump to fix everything and get you down to a scratch. It's not how it works.
Correct.
I'm building on very small foundational things, and the tinkering got me away from all of it. The second I got back to it, I started hitting the ball great again. So
correct.
You can't try and find a secret fix. You have to keep working on the foundational fundamentals.
I've said this before, and I'll say this again, and it's similar to what you're dealing with. And I dealt with it in college. I was obsessed with my backswing, working on it in the offseason. I come into this senior year, and I'm just hitting it everywhere. And why was I hitting it everywhere? I go get a lesson with a new coach, and he goes, Matt, first off, you're aimed 30 yards right. I came to that lesson to say, I got to stop hitting it left. I can't play like this. And I had no idea of why, because I'm so focused on that perfect backswing over the right shoulder, like you're that perfect takeaway. I have ignored my alignment, my stance, my posture.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's and like we,
it's easy like to do said. Because golf, it screws with your mind and what you're working on in these rabbit holes. But guys, that's an example. I've dealt with this.
It's like we said, everyone says don't play golf swing out there. But the reason you can't play golf swing is because you lose focus on all of the other details that matter to play golf. Same
correct.
Thing with getting obsessed with tinkering and positions. You lose sight of all the foundational elements that make you hit good shots.
Right. Correct. And that's it, Ev. I think you're seeing it. You know, you're seeing it. You got to do it. But I encourage you to really get a simple feel when you play. and understand what that feel is. I mean, to me, it starts in the address. I love that bump left, load right. Because if you're bumping left, you can, I trust that I can be smooth with the takeaway, which helps me load into my right. Mm-hmm. You're not bump left. Like, it's just like easy things to focus on and trust.
Now let's end with this. The beauty of this game is no matter how much you're tinkering, you can always notice that you're tinkering and come back to the foundational elements. Also, having a really bad round yesterday, hole 15, I just posted a video of it this morning. Hole 15. Oh, I haven't even told you this. The odds of this happening, I someone needs to send us a message and do the math, but I can't even figure out the odds of this. Drive up to hole 15. I couldn't find my pitching wedge. I must have left it on the last green. So I drive back. I get my pitching wedge. I start hearing screams. I drive back to the tee box on number 15, Strawberry Farms Golf Club down in Orange County. And my buddy Chris, who I used to work at the NFL with, just made an ace. I missed the ace. I go and drive, got the club. My buddy gets an ace.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Now, Chris, he's a 12.
Yeah, I hope he bought him an extra drink for that.
He's a 12 handicap. He wasn't, neither of us were hitting it well, but he was losing a ton of balls, right? He got an ace. And I told him at the end of the round, I go, isn't it crazy how if you would have given up on the round and just said, F this, I'm not thinking about anything that I'm doing, the round's over, he might not have walked into that shot with a 9-iron and made a good swing and gotten his first hole in one. So I think that's the cool thing about golf is no matter how bad it is,
you
always can come back.
You're still close.
Yeah.
You're not closer as far than away you as you think.
Yeah.
So what do we learn today, F? What's next? What's happening for you next time you practice and play? What's different?
So I'm not going to be as obsessed with finding feels with the takeaway. I'm going to know what helps me.
Yep.
And I'm just going to lean into that. And I'm going to keep working on getting reps with the ingredients that I have, meaning bump left, load right, swinging with more rhythm.
Digging into your fundamentals and your practice sessions now, what I heard are turning into like you're playing golf, working on knockdowns, right? Yeah. Working on hitting shots. Like, so to the theme, you're closer than you think.
Yeah.
You just got astray with some really old habits.
Yeah. That's a good reminder. You're closer than you think. And when you find yourself tinkering, because guys, I aired it on the internet that I'm not going to do it anymore. And I did it. So it's okay. If you've been doing it for years, it's going to be easy to do. But this show is all about recognizing when you get off track and you come back to what works for you and you come back to neutral, right? You get back on the tracks. That's what this is all about. So that's what I'm going to do.
Good.
And I was talking to Josh yesterday. He's as excited as I am with where I'm going.
Good.
I think this is my year of finally starting to like become the golfer I always hope to become. But I'm not going to get attached to the numbers. I'm not going to get attached to the handicap or the scores. I know that if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to be losing balls with an 8-iron pretty soon. I think that's where the tinkering really came from is like, you get caught up in, I just can't, I have to stop losing balls. I have to stop missing the driver right. I just have to stop hitting it low and left with the driver. You get obsessed with eliminating a miss that you get away
you get
from
extreme.
What's
you
helped you gain progress, right? So
back fundamentals are all, they never leave.
But then again, you have to have help to know what your fundamentals are. I would be lost without Josh right now.
Right.
Right. So that's
but when
really
he's not around or when that caddy's not around, you've got to push yourself.
Right. I have to do the things that we're working on and committing to.
Whatever methods or reminders. That's just for everybody listening.
Yeah.
What am I
tinkering versus getting better? What are you doing? Right. I think that's the question. So
slippery slope.
I'm glad we did this.
It's fun.
You know, these are healthy debates and you're holding me accountable. I held you accountable with
100%.
Do you need to change stuff before all these tournaments? Like, that's what this show's about.
100%. We don't have all the answers, but we hash them out. We help each other.
Right.
And we keep
sharing
chugging.
Our own journeys, and we hope that it helps with yours.
Share
that's
our
what
experiences,
this is all about.
You know?
Yeah. So. All right, guys. Well, thank you as always for hopping aboard. If you like this podcast, do us a solid and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify. That really helps. A review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify would be awesome as well.
Love those reviews.
And don't forget to follow us at The Part Train on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. And we also got a newsletter every Monday at thepartrain.com. You can sign up for totally free. That gives you a little nugget every Monday and also gives you first access to merchandise drops. I think our ball markers are coming very soon. So make sure you're on our email list.
Love a merch drop.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this. What do we need to tell the folks? No matter how much tinkering they itch to do, what do they got to do?
Get back on track and enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride, guys. Take care. Thanks for hopping aboard, guys. Before you hop off the train, I think I got something you're going to love. Our new YouTube channel is growing fast. It's something I'm putting a lot of focus and time and my heart into. So if you guys like the podcast, our YouTube is going to come out with the video podcast of the audio version every Monday on our YouTube channel, as well as more and more videos to help you enjoy the ride and keep your game on track. So go to youtube.com/@thepartrain or just search The Par Train on the YouTubes, and hopefully we can keep riding this train together. Thanks again for hopping aboard. Hope you guys enjoy the ride.